Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation.
Hey everybody, welcome to More Than That. I am Gus Bird, sitting here with...
One and only Rafael Mganla.
I think there's another one of you out there somewhere. Your name's so common.
Not really. Seriously. You can't find... No, I'm kidding.
Thanks for joining us. We are... What is this, part six of the series? Mm-hmm. Raphael preached on Micah 7, 18 through 19, My Sin Defeated. So if you haven't listened to that sermon, please go back and do so. Because this is an opportunity for the pastor, the preacher, to give a little more of in-depth dive on something that they had to perhaps go short on or maybe share that they had to cut out for the sermon for time's sake. So many times those things are beneficial for the church body, so we give the pastor, the preacher, an opportunity to share that. So the question that we ask is, Pastor, if you had 10 more minutes with your church, what would you share with them?
Yeah, so I'd have probably asked a lot more questions, especially around just this whole idea of, man, like, what would it look like if you and I fully embraced, fully understood and fully embraced and enjoyed the fact that our sins have been passed over, you know, they've been trampled and they've been cast away. Just really, like, spending more time entertaining that. So in our book, in the book that we've been using for this series, by Sam Storms, he asked some questions that I wanted to ask these, but like I think I did ask some of them, but here, basically, like they go like this: what is the single greatest, most imposing obstacle to your enjoyment of God? What is it that causes you to doubt whether God truly delights in you as a child? What is it that defeats your spiritual ears to hear the Father singing in joy, joy and heartfelt affection for you? You know, what is it that leads you to shake your head with doubt when you read scripture, in scripture about the commitment of Christ to his sheep? What more than anything else keeps you at arm's length with your Heavenly Father? You know, what makes you think he is repulsed by you and that he takes offense at your very existence because of your sins? Why do you instinctively run from him than run to him when you sin? What's the primary reason you don't pray more than you should? You know, what's the reason why you don't have confidence that God truly wants you to come boldly into his throne and to find grace in times of need? Hebrews chapter 4, 16. And it just really just kind of, there was more and more questions. Why are you, what is it about your relationship with God that would lead you to question or perhaps deny that he loves you enough to answer your prayers? Why are you restrained in your worship? What do you think is in the heart of God in relation to you when he sees you and with arms raised high, with your heart engaged and your mouth proclaiming his greatness? What is it that stirs up images of God turning his back to you in disgust or disdain? You know, And just really just like, what is it that makes you feel unqualified to even serve in the local church? What is the primary cause of your fear, your worry, your self-contempt, your doubt? And just really just like, so there's a lot more, but I'm just going to really kind of stop there. At the end of it all, really, when you go deep down underneath all these things, freedom to worship, freedom to serve him, freedom to like feeling dirty and feeling repulsed by him, never picturing him as fully delighting in us, even at our worst. I'm talking about like at your worst, you're still like his only son. You know, you're still his child and he's not repulsed by you. Our sins do that to us. Like there's this whisper where, and I say this on Sunday, that the song of condemnation is louder than the song of redemption in a lot of us. But yet the truth of the matter is that like what we need is probably more of an immersion, a deeper, more and more immersion on this whole idea of like, man, this is like, there is a lot more that he did when he was crying. Like, just like, we're taking all this stuff and we're like tucking it all in underneath that. It is finished. That one cry in him, like in John 19:30, the fact that like, man, from the east to the west, he has blotted my sin. Like, like, keep going east, keep going east. Like somebody said, like, if you keep going, you keep going, you will keep going east. Like, that's how far he has dealt with my sin. He's cleansed my sin. He's done all these things. And so this last week, even just that whole idea of like, man, what if, like, can you just imagine? Like, and that would have taken like a lot more time of just saying, just maybe just stop. I'm not going to say much. Like maybe just like for 10 minutes, I would have provided silence of just like, could you just stop and just go into imagination corner for a minute and just literally just begin to write. What could your life look like if you fully understood by faith and fully embraced and fully enjoyed the fact that your sin has been what? Trampled on, has been passed over. That like he has fully dealt with it in Jesus. Because the only way he passed over for the remnant is because like there was blood, right? It has been fully trampled on, which is a very graphic display of a defeat of the enemies, right? And has been cast way deep. And Peter Swift, one of our members, kind of reminded me this week of a, you know, at home group of just an image of like there's some dams that have been starting to dry up, like some rivers like that have been drying up, and as they are drying up, they're finding barrels of, you know, bodies that were dumped underneath there, and a ton of us feel like that. Right there when I'm extending my hands in front of God, what am I aware that God is aware of? I feel like he can see beyond the my words. Right. Like, and he can see the barrels at the deep and he can see all that stuff. And but yet scripture that's like in Christ. And then this is like in Christ. Even though on earth, we can't get away from some of these consequences, right? And like, and the damage that they've done. In Christ, he looks at us and he sees the righteousness of God. And it's like, as messy as I can be, I'm still a child and I'm still loved. I'm still... That whole idea of like him running, the Father running and hugging the Son and kissing him. He's doing all that when the Son has been hanging out with pigs.
Right.
Filthy. He hasn't been washed yet.
Right.
The dad got to kiss. And if you were a Jew around that time, he was feeding pigs. Like,
Yeah.
You didn't even want to touch any of that. What was the father wearing? If he was that prestigious, like, he didn't even care about none of that. So just watching and all that, and then starting to rethink, wow, that is the posture Jesus has towards me. Man, like, and watching Jesus towards the blind man, towards the leper, towards the woman whose son had died, towards, and it says, like, towards the great crowd, he had compassion. And just say, love has now come to walk amongst us. Love has now come to even conquer my own heart. Man, what? Yeah. I just, that for me is like, it's so beyond understanding. Which means, man, I have a lot more to explore. I think we get so preoccupied by our sin, and we don't realize that even that very sin, that, like, I was just imagining, like, and you've been here, I've been in this, where there's been a lot of moments when I remember when I used to struggle with things like pornography, things like, and there was a time when I felt like you feel the grip of that sin holding you tight, right. And you just feel like, I could never get rid of this. But then, like, but seeing it the way Christ sees it, the way literally, like, it's been fulfilled in Christ, all of a sudden it loses its power when you realize, hold on, man, you're talking too much. You've been trampled. Mm-hmm. Like, as in, like, just thinking about the fact that, like, where's that voice coming from? It's coming from underneath his feet.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Like, that image for me is just like, where is this coming from? Man, like, it's coming from underneath the depth of the sea.
Underneath his foot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, he's still talking, you know. Anyway, that's that.
Yeah. So it kind of touches on the question that we got. The question is, how to keep my sin trampled, cast in the sea, and not resurrect it myself?
I would say probably it's... I would say probably more... if you read Micah chapter 7, verse 8, I don't know, like, that just sounds so, that's like a defying voice. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to probably, like, more, like, read scripture and use scripture in a way that, like, we use it as a form of, like, is that okay for me to say as a form of defiance? Mm-hmm. Using scripture. Because it's like, okay, so now that my sin has, like, the reality is that my sin has been defeated. The reality is like, but yet at the same time, I understand the struggle with that is, but my sin is talking to me. Mm-hmm. My past is telling me I'm still there. But, like, what then does scripture call us to? It calls us to this posture of actually, like, I think it's a daily reminder of the fact that, like, no, I'm not dirty. I'm clean now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like taking almost like a posture of defiance. If you've had a 2-year-old, you know what defiance looks like.
Or a 3-year-old, or 4. Or 13.
Or a 40-year-old. Sorry. Yeah, so... But I like just like the defiance that comes with verse 8. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. Mm-hmm. Though I have fallen, I will stand up. I think that's actually like, at the end of the day, like that's like straight talk towards like, though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. So I would actually basically say that, like, for the person who's really struggling with this, is like, stay immersed in the gospel. Mm-hmm. But not only just stay immersed in the gospel, like, follow through with the so what of that gospel. Mm-hmm. Like, in terms of, like,
I just like, I've gotten to this point where I'm like, hold on. So if I ask for God to help me with this temptation, and I asked him, but like, if I really just like believe the help has come, and stand up from there and start walking away, what would happen later on? Wouldn't I praise him that like, wow, God, you know, Titus 2 verse 11, you know, the grace of God has appeared, teaching us to say what? Like, it's just like teaching us to say no to ungodliness. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, so for me, like, even just recognizing the fact that, like, okay, wow, today my sin is talking very loud. But I am no longer that. My sin has been defeated, and Christ has redeemed me. I'm now in the kingdom of his son. What does it look like at that moment, like, for me to literally reckon, no, you've been defeated.
Right.
You can't talk to me like that. You're talking from underneath the boot. Like, yeah. That's actually like, yeah, it's, you're talking from underneath. And then, you know what? I have a choice. I'm a free man. I'm walking away from you. And like, and just reckoning your sin dead and beginning to walk towards the Lord.
Right.
Like, and basically at the end of the day, C.S. Lewis is going to say something like, man, like that person who gives in into sin does not know what it would have been like 5-10 minutes if they had resisted that.
Right.
I think you get to experience, wow, God, you truly defeated this thing because I walked away from it.
Mm-hmm.
So now that's actually now like a Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that lives, right? Like, just know the flesh is never on your, never going to be playing on the side of like, I'm crucified with Christ. The life that I now live is by faith. And what does faith do? Faith sometimes just gets up and walks out of that vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've got drugs in front of me. Faith is like, nope, God, you saved me from this. Like, and then you walk away and you just do something about it, but act out of faith instead of actually out of like, because like if you sit in front of it the whole time, you're like, please save me from this while it's in front of you, and you stay there, you're not setting yourself up for success. I'm just saying faith also has a way in which like you can be able to like, okay, all right, I'm going to remind myself, and when I want to fish it out, I'm going to remind myself also that, like, by doing that, I'm trying to fish out something that's already, that's already defeated.
Yeah, it's like back in Roman culture, there's three ways to become a slave. You were either captured, you were born into it, or you self-submitted to it.
Yeah.
But through Christ, you know, you're justified, so you're, you know, whatever debt that you may have owed that brought you into slavery, paid off, and you're no longer, and you're adopted. So there goes the, you know, you're born into it. There goes the captured, because he's, you know, he's a mighty king, so there's no recapturing. So all that's left is this self-submission thing.
Yeah.
It's like, are you... You know, you're no longer slaved. You're no longer a slave.
Yeah.
You're a child of a king. But you keep going back to your old ways and into your old slave mentality. And that's really the only power
that
it has, is whatever you give it. So, but we feel like that, you know, that beckoning that, oh, this, we... That used to be our identity, so we have a habit of going back to that.
Mm. And the stronger the prompt, the stronger the call onto the dark side.
Mm.
The stronger the call, the stronger the call, or the stronger the lure. Is that like how you say it in your accent? Like the lure, the bait. That
I don't have an accent.
Just kidding. Very funny. The stronger the attraction,
yeah.
it basically shows me that, like, I have misplaced my love. Because the whole thing about this is that, like, if my sin begins to whisper that it has more power, it means that I have starved. What's his name? Thomas Chalmers. He has a book called The Expulsive Power of a New Affection.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because, like, that's probably, like, this is like a 1500, 1600, whatever, 1700 sermon. Like, it's literally, you can listen to it within an hour.
Mm.
It's a little book. But he says that the only way you overcome, you replace an affection is by introducing a new one.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is exactly that, like, when you see that your sin and your temptation are whispering and they are getting louder and louder and louder, it means that, like, your affections for Jesus have become lower and lower and mm-hmm. lower. Because that person that just feels like, okay, man, like, this is so powerful, is because they don't realize that God, this, once again, to employ C.S. Lewis, we're so easily pleased.
Yep.
We're like that child that's playing with mud pies, and then we...
when they offer for a picnic at the beach.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's just like, it just basically, like, if I'm sitting and I'm just drawn by my sin and I'm drinking deep of this, it's shallow and I'm still like, it's like, yeah, it's just basically like the cycle of, like, trying to chase a new high or whatever mm-hmm. it is. It just simply means, number one, I don't realize what I'm missing out on in Jesus. So the best way to expel that power is to press it into Jesus. And then also as well, when maybe, actually, let's say I want to break free. Like, and that sin is telling me that it's stronger than. And once again, the understanding is not me trying to actually master this, understand this sin and how it yeah. works and stuff. My understanding is to, like, what did you mean when you say it is finished?
Mm-hmm.
And then you start actually, like, so basically the past couple of weeks we've just been equipping you with the vocabulary of actually, like, just be able, it's a talk back mic towards your sin so that you can be able to, like, yeah, you're done, buddy. You were trampled. Mm-hmm. No. You were thrown into the sea. No. Let me remind you your place. Right. So therefore, now we're going to Romans chapter 6. Sin will not have dominion over us.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it's like, it's just basically like it gives you vocabulary to put sin in its place.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I love about that. So,
it's good. Well, thank you for your time. Thank you for, again, for your faithfulness and this Easter service part 6. So I really appreciate it. Again, if you guys haven't heard the sermon, please go back and do so. This is not meant to replace the sermon, but it's supposed to add on to it. So thank you for listening. I appreciate your time. I'm Gus Bird.
And Raphael.
The one and only.
Yep.
Have a blessed week.